The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare I will restore to you double. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 7. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. At that time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
How are you doing? When you ask people that question, you'll occasionally run into an optimist who responds, excellent! Most of the time, though, the answer is something like, okay, or getting along, or can't complain. Truth be told, we're liable to be fairly content if we can honestly answer in that second way. Far better when it seems we have everything pretty much under control than when we're overwhelmed and everything seems about to fly to pieces. The gracious promises we heard in the readings from Zechariah and Matthew aren't addressed to people who are doing okay, who have everything pretty much under control. Rather, they're addressed to those held prisoner in waterless pits or laboring and heavy laden. The waterless pit to which Zechariah refers is probably reference to the sort of an empty cistern in which Joseph's brothers had imprisoned him before they sold him into slavery in Egypt. Jeremiah had been subjected to the same kind of imprisonment as a result of his proclaiming God's truth of impending judgment on Jerusalem. Such cisterns in ancient Palestine were commonly shaped sort of like a wine bottle, wide at the bottom, but narrowing as one came to the top, impossible to escape unless someone from outside lowered down a strong rope. Those laboring and heavy laden are more than simply people who are working hard. The words and the verbal tenses that Jesus uses here reflect an enduring, crushing burden, one from which relief or escape is impossible. In other words, the promises in today's readings are meant for those who are in a desperate situation, those who are in over their heads and have no hope of extricating themselves. That means that they're not really for you or me. Unless, that is, we're really not okay. Unless we too are facing an impossible situation. And truth be told, you are, aren't you? You may not be cognizant of it all the time, but surely you have the very same problem which St. Paul described in the epistle today. He writes, "I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Don't his words describe your life as well? Aren't there things in life that you struggle with like that? Perhaps losing your temper, or speaking unkindly, or letting your eye and your mind follow forbidden paths? The world tends not to mind such things very much. After all, you're only human, right? But these are serious matters. Sins against the fifth and seventh commandments, against the sixth and ninth and tenth. That is, commandments which prohibit anger, theft, lust, and covetousness. And it won't do any good to say, "Well, I try to do what's right," or "I don't always mess up." Even if those things were unequivocally true, God's word is clear. Whoever keeps the whole law but fails at one point has become accountable for all of it. And to be held accountable for not keeping the law means death and hell. "The soul who sins shall die," the prophet writes. "The wages of sin is death," the apostle records. You're doing the evil you do not want. You're keeping on doing it. Means you deserve to go to hell. That's what you've earned. When we realize our bondage to sin, the truth that try as we might, we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition, cannot overcome the evil that lies close at hand, the law of sin that dwells in our members. When we realize this, we'll join with St. Paul in saying, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Paul couldn't deliver himself. You can't deliver yourself. I can't deliver myself. No one can get out from under the heavy burden of sin by his own efforts. It's just like being in that waterless pit we heard of, an empty cistern. If you're going to be saved from it, you need to be rescued from outside. And that's exactly what today's readings describe. Help from outside. Rescue by God. Of course, there is a little problem here. If you think that you can handle sin yourself, that you can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, if you figure that you've got a system to make yourself right with God, then you won't be interested in his solution. You'll be one of those with wisdom and understanding from whom, as Jesus says, the things of deliverance and salvation remain hidden. That's why it's so vital that we see clearly our utter lostness and helplessness. After all, if you've got everything pretty much under control, if you're handling it okay, do you really have any use for a savior? If you recognize your helplessness, though, if you're grieved by your perpetual failure to do good and you're doing evil instead, then the promises of today's scripture readings are a precious treasure indeed. Come to me, Jesus invites. And then he promises, I will give you rest. Jesus provides an end to your perpetual struggle against sin. He doesn't do it by freeing you from every temptation. He does it by forgiving your sin. He lifts from your shoulders the heavy burden of your guilt. When you learn of him that he is gentle and lowly in heart, you discover and experience rest for your soul. Wretched man that you are, who will save you? Who will deliver you from this body of death? The answer is Jesus. Only Jesus. And indeed, he has delivered you. By his life of perfect obedience and by his innocent suffering and death, Jesus fulfilled the law for you and bore that full punishment that you had earned for your sin. He drank the cup of God's wrath against sin in your place, drank it all the way to the dregs. There's none of God's wrath left to pour out over you. Jesus was forsaken by God so that you need never be. He suffered hell for you. And when he had done all of this for you, he said, it is finished. By his gentle and lowly suffering, Jesus bore your griefs and carried your sorrows. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was crushed for your iniquities. The chastisement that brought you peace was upon him. And with his stripes, you are healed. There's no condemnation left for those who are in Christ Jesus. For all who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Because you've been united with Jesus through your baptism into his death, you've been set free from the sting of sin and will also live with him. Through the prophet Zechariah, the Lord proclaimed, "Because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit." This promise was ultimately fulfilled by God's Son, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. For the holy, precious blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Because for as long as you and I remain in body, we will not be immune from temptation and sin. They still cling to our flesh. God daily and richly forgives your sins and the sins of all who trust in him. He invites you, as often as you would desire it, to drink of the cup of the new covenant in his blood, which he shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. By his body, which you receive in and with the bread, and by his blood, which comes to you in and with the wine, he is giving himself to you, uniting himself to you, blessing you with forgiveness, life, and salvation, strengthening you in trusting him, empowering you to love others with the love that you first received from him. Every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper, by his word and promise, Jesus is present with us. When his words of blessing have been spoken over the bread and wine, as the meal is about to be served, we hear from the altar an echo of his Easter greeting to his apostles, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." Amen, we say. For at Jesus' word, his peace is with us. When Jesus speaks peace to you, that's exactly what you receive. Peace. Peace with God for helpless sinners. Peace conveyed by the one who invites, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and you will find rest for your soul." Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O children of God. Behold, your king comes to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Gentle and lowly in heart. Bringing sinners, bringing you peace and rest for your soul. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.